Ryan Little.
Episode 216 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from St. Charles, Illinois. I am David Hine of Hine News. Thank you for stopping by. Game 7 of the World Series. That's all I have to say. Yes, this is a very short show. It's actually just really a short interview, and then that's about it. I am doing a lot of Cubs stuff right now, just taking it all in. I'm actually still in the Chicagoland area. Like I said last week, I would be here. Game 7 is tonight of the World Series. So I'll be watching that here with my family. And cannot wait. It's been super exciting. It's been a great trip here. I have been chronicling it on the Daily Sports Daily Sports blog, is that what it's called? Hang on a second. It is the Sports Daily. Sorry, thesportsdaily.com. Thesportsdaily.com. You can go in there and check out all of my entries. Very exciting time to be here. The city is going crazy, and it's a good time to be here. It's also a nice time to reflect on things going on here. Also things going on in my professional career. And so a time to step back and take it all in and think about how things are going and what can be changed, what should be changed and whatnot. Just before we go too much further, let you know how you get in contact with the show. Obviously, the easiest way is probably Twitter. That's Hine News, HEINNEWS. There's also the Facebook group that's Taking the Charge podcast. If you put that in Facebook, you can get there. There's the website, hinenews.com. There's the email address is hinenews@gmx.de. If you want to support the show, please go to patreon.com/takingthecharge show your love for the show. Pledge some money to keep the show going. Keep the expenses at a minimum for me. Also you can rate and review the show on iTunes. I would imagine that there'll be some more things on my plate coming in the next couple of weeks. And I will, of course, announce those on the podcast in the coming weeks. Hopefully that happens. Cubs. I mean, I know there's a basketball podcast, and I won't talk too much about the Cubs. Obviously, they went down 3-1, won games 5 and 6, and are now going at game 7 tonight in Cleveland. Cannot wait. Should be a great game going. Kyle Hendricks against Corey Kluber. Cubs facing Kluber for a third time in this series. And cannot imagine those bats. Can't figure him out, at least for the first time. But we'll see. Cannot wait. Basketball that's going on. Have noticed that the, you know, not really, not barely even watching NBA highlights. Cleveland, I guess a group of, what are they, five undefeated teams. Clippers, Thunder, Bulls, Cavaliers, Hawks. Cavaliers, not surprise. Bulls at 3-0. Being here in the Chicagoland area, watching the Chicago News, it wasn't even Chicago News, it was ESPN. And they put on a picture of Butler, Rondo, and Wade, And next to him was next to that picture was a picture of Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman. And I thought, hey guys, this is 3-0, and you're already, you know, putting comparisons to that team. And I just thought that was pretty funny. Atlanta, I did want to make a note about Atlanta. Watching the highlights reminded me that Howard is back there, and you know, they're not really relying on him to score at all, and he's, you know, playing some good defense, good rebounding, averaging almost 6 offensive rebounds a game. Korver is shooting 60% from 3-point range. Schroeder is averaging 14 and 6 assists. And even Millsap, okay, it's, you know, small sample size, but he's averaging 19, 8 rebounds and 6 assists a game. So he's been playing really, really well. And also Malcolm Delaney. Those who are in Europe will know Malcolm Delaney really well. And he's averaging a shade under 19 minutes, 6 points, and a 4.3 assist to turnover ratio. 4.3 assists to just 1 turnover. So, and then you have, you know, Korver and, you know, Hardaway is taking a lot of shots. He's only shooting 28% from 3-point range, but, you know, Schroeder is actually hitting pretty, you know, hitting some threes. So, and it's an interesting team. Obviously, they went pretty far last year. You know, now with Howard coming back but not really necessarily relying on him offensively, you know, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys scoring in double digits. This is an interesting team, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're, you know, way up in the Eastern Conference standings, you know, when the playoffs start coming around. I know it's real early, but you know, this is, and if they stay healthy, but I think the Malcolm Delaney is an interesting addition, and also Howard coming back home. He's an Atlanta kid, and so he's back home to his roots. So it, you know, there's no animosity that he's felt at other places. So should be interesting. Other teams you look at, Eastern Conference is pretty much, you know, looking at the teams in the playoff spots. So, you know, so far top 8 teams, the top in the Western Conference. A little bit surprising, you see that the Timberwolves are 1-2, with a plus 9.7 point differential. They lost to the Grizzlies and Kings, and then beat the Grizzlies. You see a plus 9.7 differential. There's only 4 teams, 4 other teams in the West with a plus point differential. You know, so I couldn't imagine that Minnesota might be up there come playoff time as well. 1-2 Minnesota, so Washington, Philadelphia, Dallas, Phoenix, and New Orleans, the 6-5-5 winless teams. Real quick, over to EuroLeague, Moscow, CSKA Moscow, Fenerbahce both undefeated at 4-0. Kazan, Unis Kazan, and Galatasaray both 0-4. Looking smack dab in the middle, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. With Zvezda being in there, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams at 2-2 through 4 game days, 4 rounds of action. Obviously, there are 30 rounds of games. So obviously really, really long season, but you know, you look over the next three, four games, if you're starting to build a pretty big lead, you know, then you're starting to see, might start to see, you know, really sort of teams sort of going, you know, pretty far away from each other. Interesting, you know, mentioned Minnesota's point differential. You look at Milan is minus 18 as the worst standing, the worst team in the standings of the 2-2 teams. Then you look at Bamberg, and they're only minus 3. They've had quite a few really, really tight games, which just shows you how good they were. You know, they lost by 1 point to Fenerbahce, beat Unis Kazan by 3, lost by 1 point to Panathinaikos at home, lost by 4 points at Barcelona. So, you know, and this is a team. This is, you know, it's the international games and the international competition and stuff. This is, you know, you always say you never want to lose a game by a big margin. So you look at 3 losses and you only have a minus 3 of you only have a minus plus minus 3 points. You know, that's a pretty good position. That, you know, once they get in a tie with some other teams, that might help over the long run for Bamberg. Yeah, so Champions League, kind of some of the same stuff. The Basketball Champions League, you look at one of the, you know, you look at the teams that are atop the leagues. Okay, France with Monaco. There's undefeated is also PAOK, and top of the league is PAOK. Mathunas is undefeated. The Spaniards and Italians in Group D are undefeated. Besiktas is undefeated. So, you know, you think that most of the teams that you would think that were going to be performing pretty well are also going to the top. What was the one? Strasbourg in Group D. They are 1-2. They won their most recent game, and of course they decided to bring back their longtime coach Vincent Collet, the French national team coach. They fired Hendrik Detman, and so now they've brought back Vincent Collet. So that should be interesting to see how much of a stabilization force that turns out to be. So that's most of the hoops. Like I said, I have so much baseball right now in my mind that it's you know, but I did want to get a little bit of hoops out there for you and let you know what things, some of the things that are going on. Just really quick, I guess one more I can do is the Germans, the German league, for those who might be wondering. Bamberg still undefeated at 8-0, Ulm 7-0, Bayern 6-0. Bayern's been the surprise so far of the league at 6-1, in a 6-game winning streak actually. Bonn has a 4-game winning streak at 5-2. I saw they just lost Konsti Klein for a little bit, for a couple weeks, or at least a couple weeks, maybe even a couple of months. I can't remember exactly what the injury was. Berlin at 3-4, struggling a little bit. Also saw somewhere that I think it was the Bild am Wochenende or something like that. What's his name? Akeem Vargas, their German national team player, kind of called out coach, say why is he not playing when he considers himself the best defender on the team. And the team's given up 90 points a game or something like that. And he's like, how could I not be out there? Which I can't really imagine is going over that well. So that was one note. Sticking with German basketball, because that's where the interview of the week I have, a short one, is with Moritz Sanders. He was obviously in the Bamberg system. There's thoughts that he might be going to to go into the NCAA to play college basketball, and then popped up on the transfer list saying that he was going over to Nuremberg, which is only about half hour, 40 minutes or so from Bamberg, and to play for this Pro A second division Nuremberg Falcons. And another reason for the move was that that Nuremberg signed or agreed to work with to have Holger Geschwinder, the sort of mentor for Dirk Nowitzki, on staff. And so Nuremberg actually ended up getting three pretty decent young kids. Moritz Sanders is probably obviously the best of the trio, but I'm trying to blank. Niels Hosferter, and I think Matthias Feuerfeiler, something like that. Can't remember exactly the names off the top of my head, but obviously the big one was Moritz Sanders. So here's my chat with him. It's short. It's only if do I have it here? Let's see. I think it's only about 8 minutes or so, if that. And Moritz Sanders. There we go. Moritz Sanders. It's six minutes. 6 minutes. So, just a brief interview with him, and that would be the end of the show, basically. So enjoy that, and we'll catch you on the other side. Moritz Sanders, we're here at Nuremberg against Paunach. I guess first of all, just in general, obviously tough loss. You guys being up by 10, double digits quite a bit of the time, and them, I guess, coming through with big plays, whatnot. Kind of hurt that you were on the bench. Maybe just general thoughts about, you know, where you see this team.
Yeah, we were. At least here's a team, you know. Nuremberg, there was a long time in question if there's ever a team, and I think we're a nice team fighting, you know, and we started 2-1, two wins already. So we're fine with the start, but it would be nice to just get one more win, you know. We have to get every win we could get, and yeah, so it's very, very tough, you know.
What's it like for you to be playing quite a bit, you know, come to the move, but the fact that you're able to get out there and play some pretty good minutes?
Yeah, I'm very happy about this, that the coach believes in me, you know, gives me a lot of time on the court, you know. I try to give it back as good as I can, you know, try to make my shots, but today I didn't get in the real rhythm. Just I don't know what the percentage is, but doesn't matter, you know. But I'm very happy here, and it's good. Yeah.
Tell us a bit about the move. I mean, you were in the Bamberg system, and then all of a sudden you pop up on Nuremberg's roster radar. Tell us about that.
Yeah, not a lot of people expected this, I think. In Nuremberg, somewhere next to Bamberg, but not a real basketball city. But there were some problems in Bamberg with Holger Schön and my individual coach, and yeah, we thought after school, you know, something new would be good, and a new system, and yeah, I'm very happy with Coach Junge here. He, like Malik Müller, he was in Ursprung a lot of years, you know, and yeah, we learned a lot there and from him.
Maybe first in general, how long you've been working with Holger Schwinder, and how that relationship kind of came about?
Now I think it's when I came to Bamberg, I started with that. Wolfgang Heider arranged this. I tried to practice with him 3, 4, 5 times a week, and yeah, Coach Stein brought me to his camp in Starnberger See around Munich. And yeah, I feel great about this opportunity, learn from him, and yeah, that's why I moved now to Nuremberg to practice with him every morning. And then,
so you're working with him every morning now?
Yeah, every morning. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. No days off. No.
What is it? What's about him? What is it about him that makes him, let's say, special or whatever?
He's so much about the detailed things, you know. It's nothing. Maybe it's something special with the math and stuff, but he's always looking on the every detail. It helps with every repetition. He gives advice, and yeah, he's kind of perfect, you know, with everything he does. And yeah, I'm really, really happy to work out with him every day. And so I had to take this opportunity.
How important is it that he is in the game? I mean, you know, he was with Dirk for a long time, and then, you know, for a long time, he really wasn't in the game at all. A little bit with Würzburg, whatever. But how important is he with? Because he's with Niels and other guys. How important is it that he's taking an active role in German basketball?
I think it's very important because he's one of the best individual coaches. Maybe everybody wants to work out with him, like KD wrote him, and he denied this. And you know, so just imagine, KD is one of the best players in the world, and we got the opportunity to practice with him. So it's just an unbelievably great opportunity. So.
Last time we talked was actually in Bamberg, I think, at an All-Star game or whatever. College was still an option. What's your relationship here as far as contractual? Is college still an option? I saw somewhere online that you're even thinking about doing a university courses with Hagen or whatever to continue your education. Do you have a contract here? I mean, is college now done with?
No, I don't have a real contract. But I think college is now done, you know. I try to learn as much as I can from Holger, and I think this is the best way for me now. And then we'll see what the future holds.
Yeah. Maybe you're outside, a lot. Yeah. Maybe just in general, do you want to stay on the outside, or is that something that you're just really working on right now?
No, I'm really working on going more inside, you know, to complete the game. But today I had a lot of open looks, so I just took them. But I try to go more to the basket, especially in NBBL for sure tomorrow, again against Verein Güßbach.
Again, okay.
So, nice weekend for us, yeah. We're working on everything, you know, like creating shots, going to the basket and stuff like this. But right now, I'm more of a shooter, but we want to improve this for sure.
Okay. I got to ask, under 18s, we now have a date before Christmas, and I think maybe there might only be one or two maximum games, but I don't know about a training camp, whatever, with the Germans. Is it a possibility right now? Have you guys talked about it at all? Has Harald Stein come to you? Or, you know, what's the status for you with under 18s?
Yeah, for sure, we want to get ready for the tournament. It's a great opportunity with this 98 generation, you know. And yeah, if they want us to play, then we want to play for sure.
Do you want to play? I mean, have you talked to the team as far as letting you go, or is that just hasn't been there yet?
We don't talk yet, but we want to see. We have to find a way. I don't know how it should work, but we're going to see. I don't know. It's a crazy date.
It's crazy. All right, I'll let you go, man. All right, yes. It was good to see him there, and you know, hope that he's able to go to the European Championship, under 18 European Championship. Hope that Nuremberg let him go. You know, that's something that a lot of the national teams are starting to try to figure it out, who's available, who's not available. And he's got a nice game, you know, he's definitely a big who can shoot from the outside, can dribble a little bit, and you know, he's an interesting kid, you know, anytime it's also going to be sort of a test and see what Geschwinder is able to do with him, with other guys and stuff. So that's Mort Sanders. With that, I think I'm going to run. I need to take care of some things here before game later on this evening. Song you're going to be listening to is called Traffic Jam, and it's by Ryan Little, and it is available on freemusicarchive.org. So enjoy the hoops. Go Cubs. So enjoy it. I'll be back in Germany next week for the show, so we'll be back to probably a little bit more basketball. I do plan on watching some more hoops when I get back home. But right now it's just Cubs for me. But I did want to get a little bit of basketball for you on the show. So with that, talk to you next week. Enjoy.
Ryan Little. This is Per Antic, Macedonian national team captain and a member of Atlanta Hawks, and you listening to Taking Charge.